I think it was neat about reading a book or something. When you're reading a really good book, you're like, you're not, you don't lose sleep about what's going to happen in the next chapter. Like, I'll save that for tomorrow.
Not me.
Well, it could be, but it's enjoyment. If you didn't enjoy it, but if you're a really good author, you're like, you know it's going to be good on the other side. This is going to be really good stuff. When we obey Yahweh in Christ, with our, not just with the obedience in the scriptures, but with our particular calling, he lives inside us, he testifies. And every once in a while, he shakes his finger at me and goes, Aaron, you know what you're supposed to do. Well, but I listen to these people. You know what you're supposed to do. But if we do that, then on the other side of that page is what? Satisfaction.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want? Don't we want satisfaction? And he's the only one that knows the future. He's the only one that knows what's going to satisfy us, because all of us have bought something or hiked a mountain or accomplished something, and all of a sudden I get down, I'm like, that's it? That was not nearly as cool as I thought it was. And so then what we get to try to do is, as we learn through humility, to say, why don't you show me what's really cool? And all of a sudden they'll start stirring up weird desires and things like that, and then we get really excited. We don't have to be stressed out. Not if we're being obedient. Tonight, the teaching is going to be on looking at Superman, the Superman, the real Superman. And how did he do it? And what he was able to do is, sometimes when I look at the Word and I look at Jesus Christ, or I look at the Apostle Paul, if I look at Samuel or Hannah, I have a tendency to disengage to think that they didn't need gratification like I do. Mm-hmm. They're not like me. They're strong. I'm weak. They don't, I do need some gratification. I need some pizza. Christ wanted gratification. The difference between him and us is he sought long-term gratification. All of us will gratify ourselves when we eat cheesecake or whatever it is. Then all of a sudden it's over. That's it. We'll be left empty. But he sought long-term gratification. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at. We're going to the second chapter of Philippians. Page 207 in the Rotherham, in the Greek manuscripts. Not 207. I think it's 202. What? How did he do it? And the chapter, Philippians, the second chapter, is a great, I'll read this. But it's going to show what actually happened. I'll start at verse 5. The same thing esteem in yourselves, which also in Christ Yehoshua ye esteem. For in a form of Elohim, subsiding, not a thing to be seized, accounted the being equal with Elohim, but himself emptied, taking a servant's form, coming to be in men's likeness. When he became exalted, when he was a perfect man, and he received Holy Spirit, what would most humans do once you receive that kind of power? You'd make people serve you. The point of having that power is, I'm in charge, you serve me like Pharaoh. What did Christ do? Verse 8, and in fashion, being found as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death. Yea, death upon his cross. He had all the power. Here's the Son. The second Adam came. The Son of Yahweh was promised 4,000 year gestation period. He's born. He received the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He washes people's feet. He played with kids. He cleaned the dishes. He picked up other people's messes. And that's what he did. And he became obedient as far as the death of the cross. I like to think about that when he walked up Calvary. His mom was probably watching. He was probably naked, humiliated. And can you imagine who's really trying to kill Christ? Satan, the adversary, through his hands and feet of human beings or religious people. Can you imagine them shoving his mom, trying to get his mind off of the Calvary? Anything to get him distracted? Would that be hard? He still did it. How? How did he do it? Wherefore also, what happened since he died? He humbled himself. He served. In verse 9, wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high and favored him with the name which is above every name, in order that in the name of Yehoshua, every knee might bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yehoshua Mashiach is Lord, unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. Is he rewarded?
Yes.
Is that long-term gratification? Mm-hmm. His ministry really was probably about 6 months, because the Jews had to go to Jerusalem. Anyways, in a short time period of his life, what did he do? He worked harder than anybody ever worked. Cleaning dishes, picking up messes, being chewed out, not speaking back. Can you imagine that, being a perfect son with a photographic memory? And here's your stepfather and your stepmom, or your real mom, and they're making mistakes, and you know the answer. You keep your mouth shut, honor your mother and your father. Man, that's not easy, is it? Now think about that. You say, you want to see how difficult what Christ did? Not one word came out of his mouth that was not approved by Yahweh. Try to control your tongue one day. Try to control your tongue on one date. You get excited. Ooh, I know this one. Man, what did this guy do? And he is seated above everyone. And so this is neat. Verse 3. The last part of verse 3. Here's another thing. You guys see where it says, but in lowliness of mind. Here's what we're supposed to do. It says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edify. The traditions of men will set you free. No. What will set you free? The truth. If you do not do what the traditions of men say, what will they do? They're going to throw you out. They're going to excommunicate you. They're going to want. But our job is to speak the truth and love to say, who wants accuracy? Remember that 2 of the 12 spies were laughed at, mocked. Yeah. And the other 82% were just, they went along with the crowd, give people whatever they want. So it's never going to be the biggest groups, but it's the small groups that are the most important usually. Because how many did Jesus Christ have? 12. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I heard Billy Graham say that. He said that if he could have done all over again, I don't quote me on this, but I heard that he said, instead of evangelizing all around the world, doing all this stuff, he said he would invest in all of his life's ministry into 12 people. Hmm. Instead of painting himself so thin, if he could have done it, just give me 12 people, give me 3 people. I thought that was neat. But in lowliness of mind, accounting one another, this is our calling, superior to yourselves. You know, accounting others superior to ourselves, that's cleaning up their messes, doing these things. And as we looked, if you keep reading, it goes back to Jesus Christ. What did he do? Was he rewarded?
Yes.
He's at the right hand. He's going to have a 1,000-year kingdom. He's running everything right now. It all belongs to him now. He's running. It actually belongs to Yahweh, but Jesus Christ got the keys to the vehicle right now. Will we be rewarded?
Yeah.
Yeah. When's Christ coming back?
We don't know.
Undercover boss, baby. We don't know. Could be today. Wouldn't it be great if we were serving him instead of serving ourselves? I'll look back up it. It says that verse 6, who in the form of God, or in the form of Yahweh, or in the form of Elohim. Usually with English people have a problem is the word Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word for God. It is not synonymous with our word God. In American English, we have all kinds of problems. Say, there's one God, right?
Yeah.
But Satan's called the God of this age. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How does that work? And it says, there's one God though, right? Right. But it says, don't have any other gods before me. Man, what is this contradiction? God is not synonymous with Elohim. So you kind of look at some of these things. Jesus Christ in the form of God, or Yahweh. Now we're going to turn to Genesis 1:27. He was in the form of Elohim. He was perfect and flawless. But as our example, he was tempted. He was tested, and he passed all the tests. And as my brother and I were talking today, or the other day, we're talking about how good it feels to check off everything on the list. Doesn't it feel good to do that? Yeah. And Jesus Christ finished his life for Yehoshua Mashiach by saying, "It is finished." Mm-hmm. The last boss. And actually, I was reading Proverbs this morning. It was talking about how good it feels to check off a box. But here's Yehoshua. He had some work to do. He came here to work, baby. Verse 27. Would Troy or Lissette read that? You say Elohim for God.
And Elohim created the man in his own image, in the image of Elohim. He created him. Male and female, he created them.
So, okay, so you say, so who else was created in the image of Elohim?
Adam and Eve,
when the twins were born back in Genesis. Okay. John chapter 10, page 103. Chapter 10, I think it's 105, sorry. Now, in the Greek, there is no word A. So anytime in your Bibles, if you see a dog, a man, a woman, the word A has been added. So the translators put the word A in there to make sense. But anytime you see the word A, it's been added. There is no Greek word for A. Okay?
What verse?
Now we're going to turn to chapter 10 and verse 31. And the Jews, again, lifted up stones that they might stone him. And Yehoshua answered them, "Mighty works have I shown you, noble ones from my father. For which of those works are you stoning me?" And the Jews answering him, "Concerning a noble work are we not stoning thee, but concerning profane speech, because thou being..." See how it says amen? So they added the word, the translators added the word A there. "Thou being a man, art making thyself..." Yahweh, the creator? You can't make yourself the creator. It should be, "Thou art making thyself a Elohim." Well, how is it you being a man are making yourself Elohim? So what did Jesus Christ, did he come back and say, "I am Yahweh, I created all this"? Is that what he says? Let's find out what he says. Yehoshua answering them, "Is it not written in your laws?" He's going to quote Psalms 82:6. "I said, ye are Elohims. If those he called Elohims unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, of him whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying, thou speakest profanely because I am Yahweh?"
Nope.
"Because I said, son of Elohim or Yahweh I am." So this is, if I say my father's a monkey, what does that make me?
Son of a monkey.
A monkey. Not a son of a monkey. It makes me a monkey. If my dad's a giraffe, what does that make me?
A giraffe.
A giraffe. If I say my dad's a king, what does that make me?
A prince.
And Yehoshua, he was really irritating the religious people because he kept calling Yahweh his father. Not only is he saying he's the prince of all this stuff, but if his father is the creator, an Elohim, then he is making himself an Elohim. Because he came back, he goes, "Because son of Yahweh I am." He came back to it. Why were they so confused? He quoted Psalms 82. Return to Psalms 82. Because the religion had gone so far away from the scriptures. 572. And what's really neat about that was you look at this where Americans and with the traditions of men, you say, okay, some people, they just want the traditions. They don't want to know, actually figure some of the stuff out. But if you look back at the genealogy, like in the gospel called Luke, I think it's Luke, it'll say, so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, and it's going to go the whole genealogy from Jesus Christ all the way back. Who begot so-and-so, who begot so-and-so, who begot so-and-so. Actually, you guys keep your finger there. I think it's, who's the father of so-and-so, who's the father of so-and-so, who's the father of so-and-so. Let me see. It is, I think it's Luke. There it is. Yeah, Luke. Yeah. You guys want to look at this. It's neat. It's recorded. It's page 60. So here's Jesus. You guys don't have to. I'll just read it.
Okay.
But it'll say, so here's the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. It goes, Methuselah of Enoch, of Jared, of Mahalalel, of Canaan, of Enos, of Seth, of Adam, of God. Way to blasphemous! Blasphemous again! Well, are we sons of God too, right?
Yeah.
So if we're a son of we're a son of Elohim. It's Psalms 82 is what Jesus Christ was quoting. Verse 6. Psalms 82, verse 6, page 572. I, said, Elohims ye are. Yea, sons of the highest ye are.
Are you all, excuse me.
But, verse 7, what does it say? But, indeed like the earthborn shall ye die. Why? We are the sons of Elohim, especially when we became Christians. Why are we going to die? Why are we going to go back to dust? Because what Adam and Eve did, they chose poorly. Now, because of them, everybody's going to die unless Christ comes back. Hopefully, he does. What we see here is that we are still the sons of Elohim. And what did Jesus Christ do? Well, I guess there's a guy that I got to meet at the gym. His name is Drew. Did you ever get to meet Drew? I met Drew, and he looks like he's a huge beast. I mean, he's a big dude. And you would think that he's a regular knucklehead like me. And I got my IQ right about this high. But my bench press is really good, you know. But he's not. He's actually really, really, really smart. You wouldn't know it. He didn't talk about it, about how smart he is. And then we started talking about some other things. And he said, he took his ACT. And I said, I'll pray for you. So I prayed for him right there in the locker room. I gave him a prophecy in the locker room. He said, thank you. He came back. He said, yeah, I took my ACT. And I said, what'd you get? He goes, I got 32. I'll stop right there. I'm not going to take any more. He goes, 32 is good enough for me. I look at him. I go, ACT. He goes, yeah. I go, ACT, all you can get is a 36. He goes, yeah. He goes, I was hoping I was going to get a little bit higher than a 32. My buddy got a 34, but I'll stick at a 32. I'm like, that's really smart, guys. That's really smart. And later on, I asked him about this, and he's taken his ACT 3 or 4 times in high school. And actually, he went to Bishop Carroll, his Catholic school, very good education, but higher standards really with his family. And here's his younger brother. He's been talking to his younger brother. He's 14, going, yeah, I've been giving him pep talks about taking his ACT, getting things ready. It's to get you ready for college. He can go to Ivy League schools because of his grades. Yeah, so he can go and there are some people that get higher than 32s. Now, Drew. And I'm looking at him going, dude, I took the ACT so I could go play football at JUCO. I had to get like a 16 or 17. I went in there and I went, I don't know. So I got like an 18. I think I needed a 16. I was like, all right. And I came back. Who do you think regrets the decisions they made in high school as far as their education? Me or Drew? Man. This guy's education, and he's obviously gifted too. Not only did he do that, but he took his LSATs, to get into law school. And not only did he do exceptionally well with that he graded out, now he had the offers. People were flying him all over the United States just to go to law school. I talked to him, not too long ago, and here he's at the University of Texas, getting A's on everything. And he goes, hey, I'm going to be in Wichita. Maybe we can go work out or something. I'm like, all right. I said, when are you going to be in town? When are you driving up? I'm not driving up. I'm flying up. I'm flying up. How can a college student afford it? He goes, oh, a company wants to interview me to see if they want me to work for them. So they're going to fly me up on Friday. But I'll be done Saturday and Sunday before they fly me back. A company's going to fly you up? What kind of foresight did that guy have? When I was in high school, immediate gratification got the best of me. And I was very popular. Guess what? All that stuff I did with my youthful lusts or whatever I got me nowhere today. It's all gone. And it's actually sad when you guys get to be my age. You'll be people my age, 30, 40 years old. They'll still brag about how cool they were 20 years ago. There are some people that they didn't mess around with a short period of their education. And now they're doctors. And Francis is somebody like that. This guy took this really serious, these opportunities. Jesus Christ did the same thing. He was thinking the long haul. And it says that about Moses too. He said he did not indulge with the sins of the Egyptians. Abraham was looking for a city whose maker and builder was Yahweh. This life is this long. And Jesus Christ endured the death of the cross. Why? The joy that was set before him. It's not that he didn't want gratification. He sought long-term gratification. And that's what we're looking at. And so my friend Drew Gray, I look at that going, golly, well, I can't go back and do my ACT, but But I'm really going to start encouraging other people. Start reading. Start doing this stuff. Raise your standards. Don't lower your standards. Hebrews chapter 12, page 232. So I think anybody who's in their mid-20s or 30s probably knows one or two people that they're not doctors. And, you know, I'm really kind of shocked at how many people that I know that are doctors now. And most of the people who are doctors now, I didn't even know they were that smart. I did have some people who thought they were very smart. They would brag to everybody about how smart they were. And they never became doctors. Most of them didn't even finish college. I'm looking at all these doctors. I'm like, God, what were they studying? Now, I don't personally, without supernatural intervention, I couldn't be a doctor. I don't have what it takes unless y'all would call me, then I'm the mind of Christ. But these other people, I'm looking back going, God, what kind of foresight did they have that they took school that serious? You know, I've got to meet some other people who are in their mid-20s and 30s who are getting close to becoming a millionaire. Actually, my friend Drew, he has some friends that when they graduated from college, that these guys got almost $100,000 saved. How did they do that? It wasn't because they made more income than everybody else. They were thinking. And it's really neat. Every once in a while, actually, we should be asking Yahweh, help me raise my standards. Send people to me so I can see this stuff to go, all right, well, I can't fix what's behind me, but I can fix what's in front of me. And I might not have Francis and Drew's brains, but I got the mind of Christ. You get more and more in my brain, I promise you. Because I don't have a whole lot of brain cells up there anymore. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. If somebody would read, it's going to be 1 through 17.
Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witnesses, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him endured a cross, shame, despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh hath taken his seat. For take ye into consideration him who hath endured such contradiction by sinners against themselves, lest ye be wearied, in your souls becoming exhausted. Not yet unto blood have ye resisted against sin, waging a contest. And ye have quite forgotten the exhortation which indeed with you as with some doth reason. My son, be not slighting the discipline of the Lord, neither be fainting when by him thou art reproved. For whom the Lord reproveth, loveth he doth discipline, and scourgeth every son whom he doth welcome home. For the sake of discipline, persevere, as towards sons Yahweh beareth himself towards you. For who is a son whom a father doth not discipline? If, however, ye are without discipline, whereof all have received a share, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, the fathers of our flesh we used to have as administrators of discipline, and we used to pay deference. Shall we not much rather submit ourselves to the Father of our spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, according to that which seemed good to them, were administering discipline. But he, unto that which is profitable, with a view to our partaking of his holiness. But no discipline for the present indeed seemeth to be of joy, but of sorrow. Afterwards, however, to them who thereby have been well trained, it yieldeth peaceful fruit of righteousness. Wherefore the slackened hands and paralyzed knees restore you, and straight tracks be making for your feet, that the lame member may not be dislocated, but be healed rather. Peace be pursuing with all and the obtaining of holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord, using oversight, lest anyone be falling behind from the favor of Yahweh, lest any root of bitterness springing up above be causing trouble, and through it the many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for the sake of one meal yielded up his own firstborn rights. Ye know that afterwards, when he even wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For place of repentance found he none, even though with tears he diligently sought it.
Did Esau repent?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought he did.
He didn't even repent. He had tears. Diligently sought it. Gonna go eat. And why did Esau give up? He was hungry. You know, I had something, and what's really neat about this, what does this say what we're supposed to do with our sinful flesh? Because like even when we read in Psalms 82, it said, we are sons of Elohim, but we're going to die.
Yeah.
Why? As a consequence of Adam and Eve. We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for this brain that harasses me. I could be sitting in church going in light, and all of a sudden some crazy, weird thing comes through my head. What is that? It's not Satan. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? Yeah. So who is it? That's old man's genetics. Adam's in there harassing us. He's a rat. He's a cockroach. Mm-hmm. And it was funny when I moved into a brand new house, this house, I was so excited. I loved it. I was so blessed. Thank you, how I dedicated it to him. And I was appalled when I found bugs in it. And then there was a mouse. For some reason, I was thinking that a new house shouldn't have any vermin. Mm-hmm. Every house has vermin.
Yep.
He's got to deal with it. But what does Yahweh tell us to do with the lust of the flesh? Feed it?
No.
Actually, I was doing my hour prayer, first with Yahweh. I pray, I speak in tongues for an hour. He tells me, it's all about him. He talks. And I just speak in tongues for whoever he tells me to. But I envision somebody who's losing a battle with their flesh. And you know what we have a tendency to do? Is to feed our flesh. Why? Because it rewards us. Does your body reward you with cheesecake? Cookies? Ice cream? Of course it rewards you. Does your body reward you if you win an argument? Absolutely. Does your body reward you if you finally figure out what song that was going through your brain, all of a sudden you figure it out? Yeah, your body rewards you. It goes, ha, isn't that? It rewards you. Short-term rewards. But the lust of the flesh that we have to deal with, do you know how we should handle it? We should choke it to death. Why? Because the lust of the flesh that is inside of us, if you don't take it serious, it's going to kill you. Yeah. What is the wages of sin?
Death.
We didn't ask for it. But every time we kill sin, we kill the flesh, guess what happens? Cha-ching, we get rewarded. And we keep fellowship. And we get stronger. And Yahweh says right here that if you're going to be running a race, strip off everything, get your running clothes on. Take this serious. You tie your shoes and he goes, do this. And he goes, look, lest you be weary and become exhausted. It's going to be hard. Yeah. Is it funny to see a dog that's undisciplined just running around everywhere acting? Yeah, it's kind of fun, right? But do you respect that dog? Or how about if you see a bunch of German Shepherd police dogs and they let a cat run right in front of them, the German Shepherds don't do anything. Do you respect that?
Yeah.
You don't get to choose who likes you anyways. But you can choose whether you respect somebody, right? I mean, or they can help you. We need to respect ourselves as sons of Elohim. We have two natures inside of us. Who are we going to live like? Are we going to live like a son of Elohim? Because when Jesus Christ became a son of Elohim, when he received the Holy Spirit, did he use that power to exalt himself?
No.
No. Actually, a son of Elohim means a servant. Who is seated at the right hand right now?
He is.
How many vacation days does he get? What are you talking about? Well, you know, he's only working like 10-hour days and he's golfing the rest, right? Or he's playing video games. No, he's working.
Yeah.
He's serving. Just like his dad.
24/7.
When does Yahweh take a day off? Does that sound fun? Like having a weekend? Doesn't sound fun, does it? That is a good test for us to go, we have to start fixing this. Who do you think is more satisfied, Isaiah Strong or Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
What does he do? Video games and sleep in? Mm-hmm. Or compare it to me. I want to sleep in and stuff like this. Who's going to be more satisfied? He works. He serves. And he never stops. And he continued to live like a son of Elohim. He chose to live like his father. He didn't have to. And that's what we get to choose each day. Who are we going to serve? And it says in the scriptures, don't you know who you serve, you're a slave to? When we give into our flesh, now Lisette is a competitor, a very successful competitor. I saw somebody who was very obese in a chair, electric chair. They're gigantic, and they're scooting up at just to eat food, and they could barely even reach the counter. That woman was a slave to her body. She was trapped inside of a body. She was a slave. It was really sad. I don't think she saw it, but I think all of us have a weakness like that that we don't got to deal with. Somebody who's like Lissette or Dwayne Johnson, now we want to flee idolatry. Let me put that out there. But they're going to say, does Dwayne Johnson's body serve him or does he serve his body? You're going to say, no, his body serves him. And so that would be a natural realm. But what we need to do is learn from these people that are very good at making their bodies serve them and say, you will serve me. But if we don't do it with rewards, if we don't think about it, rewards, how long will your dog obey if you don't reward it? How often does your cat obey you if you don't reward it? Yahweh understands that too. So we should be rewarding ourselves. Reward good behavior. What do you really, really like? Me was Facebook. I'm single. That's my social life. I get to network with people like me. It feels like there's not a whole lot. So I go to Facebook. There's all my peeps. Okay, you don't get to do, you don't go to Facebook until you read two chapters. Okay. I discipline myself. You know, it's a disciplining. That's a little thing. But it says, I think I was thinking about what's beautiful. How about some of these horses that get trained?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen with the way some of these horses that are really trained? You're looking at it, or you get to see some of these animals that are trained at the circuses, and you're going, look at this animal. How about a seeing eye dog?
Yeah.
Do you respect that? Can you admire that? How did they get that? Discipline, 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 discipline. Did the dog want to be disciplined?
No.
Yeah. But then you look at it and go, that is a work of art. And each one of us, what we should do is we strip off the lust of the flesh. Then if when it comes back, you choke it to death. Take it real serious. Because Yahweh says, there is no truce. There's two wars going on inside you. It's like a dog and a cat or something. There's no neutral. And Yahweh says, who's going to win that fight inside you? The one you feed. Each day, will Christ ever disappear? No. He's in us. Does your old man ever leave? I wish he would. But if he did, then I wouldn't get rewards. So I want my rewards. Because I'm thinking long term here, baby. Kill that dude. Kill him. Kill that dirtbag. You want to know who's going to win each day? Which one are you feeding? Are you listening to the word? Are you speaking in tongues? Are you listening, watching TVs, Christian things? Are you forcing yourself to watch stuff? I was talking to Rachel last night. Rachel and I were praying over each other and prophesying through her prophecy. It was like she's supposed to be watching these Christian movies. Some of the stuff there's kind of corny. And then it came back to it as we were talking afterwards. She goes, yeah, that's feeding the new man. I gotta feed him. I gotta make him strong. And the stronger we make the new man inside us, the more you feed him, guess what happens? He starts becoming like a Dwayne Johnson. And then when the little twerp old man comes out, you go, yeah, you want some of that? Yeah, get some. And you snuff it right out. The wages of sin is, do you know what the wages means? You know what that means?
Hey.
The paycheck for sin, here it is. Here you got it.
Oh, death. Oh, great.
It's either in little or in full. That's all of us. And so when you sin, does it feel like you're going to die or does it feel like you're going to be rewarded? Rewarded to say something nasty to somebody. And then afterwards you're like, why did I say that? I felt really good at the time. Now I'm really regretting that. And a lot of times it's the new man convincing you. But anyways, the wages of sin is death. I was going with that. Have you guys ever seen the praying mantis? Who's the bigger of the mantises? The male or the female?
Female.
The female. Okay. And during one time a year, the male and the female get together. Why? To have sex. Yahweh put a desire inside of them to procreate, like with all animals, including humans. And then, after that desire is satisfied,
guess what happens?
What happens?
The woman eats the
male. Why does the larger female eat the male? It's nothing personal. She's got the munchies. It really is. They'll say it. They're going to say it. It's not like she's trying to, hey, don't tell anybody what happened here. I'm really embarrassed. No, she's just like, hey, look at that. And she'll eat his head first. how many, Yahweh teaches us through stuff like that. Sin is that relationship. Does that make sense? If you had a buddy who was a male praying mantis, what would you tell him about girls? Stay away, dude. But she's really cute. Dude, she will eat your face. No. She really likes me. She's different. Dude, she will eat your head while you're alive. What would you tell the little guy? Run, dude, run. I don't know, man. Oh, love's in the air. Yeah, bye-bye, dude. Yahweh warns us. He warns us. And then the other, another example would be, anybody know what the black widow is? Why do they call her a widow?
She doesn't add all of her husband.
What happened to her husband? Why? Nothing personal. Hey, look at that snack. After she got what she wanted, she's hungry. And what happened to that little dude? And then we will look at the praying mantis or spider. You guys are idiots. That's your life? That's your existence? I'm going in. I'm going to go make some babies. Good luck, dude. You should have been a monk. To live longer. That's Yahweh warns us with the same thing. He says specifically with sexual immorality. He says of all the sins outside the body except for one, sexual immorality. He goes, run. Sex outside of marriage is a black widow. And actually what happens is, in my opinion, how come the male black widow can crawl on that web and not get stuck? Well, he's pretty smart. He knows how it works. The web is sin. Now, here he is walking on a spider web. He's getting away with it. Have you guys ever sinned and you're getting away with it? And all of a sudden you're like, I got a pretty good plan.
Mom didn't see.
What we don't realize is that there's a roaring lion that wants to devour us. And here we are walking on this web. And then he goes, ooh, look at that snack. So we can look at those things going, anytime we can start giving into the lust of the flesh, going, it's just TikTok. But that's what we got to deliver other people. That's why you choke it. You don't deal with it. So if I had a pet praying mantis and a female came in the house, I'd smush her. You're not eating my little buddy. He's this big. Poor little guy. Anyways, Yahweh gives us those teachings. Now, 1 John chapter 2. That's page 246. And so you guys are at a good age. You'll learn that the boys and girls is not that important. But once you start getting a hormone inside you, all of a sudden you'll see people doing very foolish things, dumb things. And you look at it and go, what's going on here? There's a psychologist, I think it was Dr. Dobson, and he was saying things about explaining what somebody's going to go through before they experience it. He said the same way with alcohol. He goes, you don't just tell your kids about alcohol and stuff like that. You might have them experience a beer or something. How'd that feel? That feels pretty good. Good. I'm glad you... Now I want to show you what the end of alcohol is. They're talking about taking the kids on a tour of vagrants living downtown, living in boxes so they can drink wine. Does that make sense? No, Dad, it doesn't make sense. He goes, do you think they started that way? With that intention to end up in looking like that? They said, no, what happened? And on the Dr. Dobson, he goes, they got tricked. And now they're slaves to somebody. Who are they slaves to? Well, then the kid says, Satan. He goes, not just Satan, their flesh. Their flesh is rewarding them for that behavior. You think it'd be easy for that guy to get out of that box? No. He goes, that's why with anything, those feelings, emotions, hormones, you'd be very, very, very sober about them. But prepare. 1 John 2:16, page 246. So what are we supposed to be stripping off? And what's really neat, I had a guy at the gym, he came to me, and he's covered in tattoos, and he's a really big dude. And he came up, and he's witnessing, and he'd be a very good bar evangelist with some of the words that came out of his mouth. I'm like... I don't want you in my Bible study, but if you ever want to talk about it, the words are coming out of his mouth were not very ethical. But he was very passionate. And then he went on to say something about his vice was alcohol. And alcohol got him into drugs. Drugs got him into this. And then he goes, I can't handle it. And then he dropped his head. And then Yahweh threw him. He grabbed him by his arm. He looked back at him and go, everybody's got a vice they can't handle. Everybody's got something they can't handle. There's nothing unique about you. Now, you might have lost. The difference is that what you have and what I have, are you winning that battle? But all of us know there's something you cannot handle. Stay away. And don't compare yourself with other people who can't handle it. You're just going to get tricked. You know what your weakness is. And that's what successful people do. And that's what the successful people like King David did. What did they do? They knew themselves. They go, I know what's going on in here. But what are we supposed to be stripping off? The verse 15, 2:15. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Right?
No, it comes home with you.
No. Yeah, so they said the same thing about Sodom and Gomorrah before it got nuked. Those people will get woken up and Christ comes back and they're going to go, I thought what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah stayed there, he goes. Be not loving the world, nor yet the things that are in the world. If anyone be loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what's neat about that is all of us, I believe, love parts of the world. I believe there's parts of every human, as long as there's Adam inside you, there's things about the world that appeal to you. And we got to know what our own weaknesses are. What is it? And if you want to know who your enemy, if you want to be successful with your enemy, evaluate who your enemy is. Look at him. Go, what is this thing? What is mine? Then it's, verse 16, because all that is in the world, here, the coveting of the flesh, the coveting of the eyes, that's probably my biggest weakness, and the vain grandeur of life. So those are the things we're supposed to be stripping off. Then you can look at your own life and go, what is my weakness that I look at? I'm probably pretty easy with that. I think all of us, you know what you look at, you're not supposed to look at, right? Okay, then what is your flesh? What rewards your flesh? What really gives you something? You go, okay, there's another enemy. Get organized. And then the vain grandeur of life. What is these things? And we start to look at that. That's what's supposed to be stripping off each day. Strip it off. Strip it off. Why? 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 Long-term gratification. When you're bodybuilding, when you're training, when you're doing some of these things, even Lissette told me a story. She said that she got through basic training because she knew that basic training wasn't going to be the way the whole military, it wasn't going to be 4 years of basic training. Yeah. Or something like that. You knew basic training was going to be about this big, you got to get through this crucible of pain, and then get into the military. It's like being initiated. But you knew it's not going to always be like that. Let me see here. We turn to Luke 4. So as we strip these things off, look at the rewards that we're going to get, the rewards, and imagine these things. Start imagining, where are we going? And what is it going to be like? There's going to be no sun, no moon, no ocean. Okay. There's going to be a city bigger than the state of Texas. There's no tears. We're going to be working. We're going to have jobs there. Man was created to work just like our dad, right? Okay. Man, my dad says someone's last teaching, he said, what about a reward that you'll get back for a billion years? A billion is not infinite. That means it's over. What if it was a really good reward? What if it was a charger or a challenger for a billion years? Maybe a challenger each year. Well, now you're talking. What if it was, and what we're supposed to do is with our brain is go, what would reward you? And then take yourself there. And then be reminded that our Father's got cattle on 1,000 hills. To get you through this thing, for Him to buy you this or to pay for this, that's nothing. And then when you start imagining, using your imagination instead of the bad things, start using it for the good things. When you get done, ask yourself, is the new man stronger or weaker after you did that? Mm-hmm. He's stronger. Darn right. And juice him up. Get him juiced up. Luke 4. Verse 1. That's right, page down. There we are. Page 60. What's it say right above verse 4? The temptation. Okay? And Yehoshua, full of Holy Spirit, Ruach Kodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the desert 40 days, being tempted by the adversary. And he did eat nothing in those days. And when they were concluded, He hungered. Before I was doing this teaching today, I did an hour and a half on the stair stepper, praying. And I get rewarded for that, so don't get me wrong. That's not like, I do enjoy it too, so it's not. But I got done, I'm studying with the word and stuff like this. And since I did all that cardio, my body really wanted a reward. And so I went to the cabinet, I bought chips just for Cave. They're my son's chips. They're his chips. I put them in there, they're just for him. And I looked at them and all of a sudden I had an argument with me. Myself. You deserve some chips. And here I was looking at this going, this is why I don't want kids' food in my house. Because he used to really like Cocoa Puffs and Fruity Pebbles and Reese's Puffs. And I look at it, I'm like, ah, I couldn't handle it. I was like, get that junk out of here. Okay. I didn't even want to look at it. You guys ever had that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look at cheesecake, cookies and stuff. Get that stuff out of here. Izzy might even come home and his wife making brownies. Will you please just not look? I don't want to see it, or in moderation or something like that. Just don't leave that stuff out. That's when you can see it. Jesus Christ hadn't eaten for 40 days. How hungry is this guy? What do you think his feelings were telling him? You think he was hangry? Hangry, that's hungry and angry. You're so hungry, you're angry, it's called hangry. Yeah, I bet you he was hangry. And the adversary said to him, if thou art Yahweh's son, is he going to say the same thing to you?
Mm-hmm.
Speak into this stone that it may become bread. Could Jesus Christ have made that stone bread?
Absolutely.
Yep.
It would have been a temptation if he couldn't. Can you imagine all of a sudden he sits there just for a second, all of a sudden he smells Texas Roadhouse. Oh, Texas Roadhouse. Can you imagine? And there it was. If he would have made it bread, what would have happened? He would have had his authority. He would have used his authority just like Adam and Eve. And then he would have fell and he would have been just like a son of man. Whenever we're going to talk to somebody about the word, and specifically if it's going to really hurt them, or if somebody is really emotional about some things, and they're going to go, but look at the children, or look at this. They'll always throw children out there, because, oh, look at the weight of the matter. You're going to go, let's just talk about feelings and emotions. Jesus Christ went through that. And what did he say? It is written. Jesus answered him, it is written. And I think that with the kids, and including myself, I forgot this, that when we memorize scriptures, we start memorizing these things, I think we should start. It is written.
Amen.
Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Come on, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It is written. The wages of sin is death. It is written. 1 John, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It is written. I'm thinking, I think it'd be a good thing for all of us to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. Before we even quote it. To remind these things, because Jesus Christ had to kill that old man too. Jesus Christ chose to live as an Elohim. Adam chose to fall. What did he want? He wanted immediate gratification. He got 1,000 years, guys. He did get 900 years. Do you think if Adam is saved, do you think he's going to enjoy? Or do you think he's going to have some regret when he gets to see what the second Adam did? Man, look how strong this guy was. Jesus Christ lives inside you. He'll teach you how he did it. He understands the demons all of us have. Now, they're not really demons. People call that. It's the weaknesses we have. He understands what you have. And just because you're a kid, or if you're not a kid, he's inside you. He's got a vested interest. This is his business. And he wants to take it to these things. He wants to choke this stuff. He's seen you fall down. And he'll say, it is written. Kill these things. He chose to live as a servant. And what's really neat, right after this, after he goes through his stuff, the lust of the flesh, later on, the adversary shows him all this stuff. That's the lust of the eyes. I'll exalt you. There's the grandeur of life. And he passed all those things. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. How are we going to beat these things? It is written. Our job at Philippians 2 is to choose to live like an Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
An Elohim is not like necessarily Iron Man or something where you can choose where I'm on top, but I'll take time. No, an Elohim is to serve. And Yahweh, when he tells you to speak words to trees, Is that living like a human? An Adam, son of Adam?
No.
He tells you, you take my word, you put them in your mouth, and you speak them like a meat. Really? I'm going to look really silly. That's living like an Elohim. We should be living our lives. Rachel gave me a prophecy. She said, your tongue is like a match. And when you put the words inside your mouth, you speak it. The sulfur goes off and changes. We should choose to say, what comes out of this mouth? James talked about who can tame the tongue. Say, I might not be able to get 100%, but I'm going to beat the snot out of that tongue today. Raw, tongue tacos. Anyways, we'll turn to Genesis. Well, we don't have to turn to Genesis. But that's where we're going to go back. So each day we get to choose life or death. And what we should do is, this was actually from my dad's teaching. He did a teaching on it. Choose to live like an Elohim. You'll be rewarded for it. Every act of obedience will be rewarded. Every act of obedience. He sees it. And watch what happens when you obey. Look at yourself and go, is he stronger? He's sitting in there like a dog going, we got it. He's wagging his tail. He's going, we got this thing. Then do it again. Then do it again. Act like the Elohim. Then the dirtbag that's inside you, every once in a while, he's going to get you. Then choke him out. Stomp him out. Remind yourself of the black widow. Remind yourself there's a roaring lion that wants to devour all of us. And if we don't tell Christians and unbelievers the difference between light and dark, how do we have the love of God within us? Because we know the wages of sin is death. We know there's a roaring lion that's going to devour them, but, oh, who am I to judge? You're going to be judged for saying that. You know that, right? Because you know better. Deliver these people. What if they reject me? They reject my son also. You'll be rewarded. And so be like John the Baptist. My objective is not to get followers. My objective is to live like an Elohim and make my dad proud. And you make your dad proud. He will reward you and he will give you, he will overflow your cup of blessings. He's the only one that knows the future. He doesn't want you to burn out. Any good leader doesn't want their patrol to burn out. Any good coach doesn't want them to burn out. Any good business owner will walk through the factories and make sure people aren't burning out, right? Jesus Christ is the perfect. He won't let us burn out. Open your emails. Go in there and go, what are we doing here? And guess what's going to happen? You start feeding that fire, start getting white hot, and people will start seeing these things. As we live it like an Elohim, you see the first Adam and Eve. This is really important. It was the first Adam and Eve. You think, were they perfect?
No.
Yeah?
Well, they were.
Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, were they perfect? Yeah. Was their problem intelligence?
No.
It wasn't intelligence. Have you ever seen somebody who's really intelligent do something very stupid? No. And then we're shocked? Intelligence isn't necessarily the problem. Actually, if you watch, we just watched this thing. What is it? Doctor Strange. Intelligence can be your biggest handicap. Yahweh doesn't need intelligence. What was Adam's fault or what was his weakness? It was foresight. He had a wife. And for 900 years, he got to tell everybody on the planet, why is it so messed up? What happened to Cain? Well, Cain went over there. What? Why did he go there? Because he killed Abel. Who was Abel? They're both my sons. Why? Because I chose my wife over Yahweh. Oh, great. 900 years of that. Explaining to people. It was lack of foresight. And so we can look at some people who might be more educated, more smart. The objective is have foresight. Choose each day to live like an Elohim and look for long-term gratifications and think about those guys that are in high school that are now doctors. Think about these people who are 30-year-old millionaires. How do they do it? They had a plan, they were focused, and they were disciplined, and now they're being rewarded. We thank you, Father, for your words.